The Gemara is discussing how to add to Jerusalem, how to add to the courtyards. So the Mishnah had said that Beis Din would walk, and then two loaves would walk. So the Gemara says, is that true? It's not that Beis Din walks first and then the loaves. The Pasuk said in Nehemiah that Beis Din walked afterwards. So the Gemara says what it means is Beis Din is walking and there are two loaves walking, but first the loaves and then Beis Din. So how would they walk? Here's an argument. One would say that the two loaves were side by side, and one would say one was ahead of the other. So that's where we've gotten up to. So Ma'adam Rezu Keneged Zu, the one who says that the two loaves are side by side, Hapnimis, when the Mishnah says that the inner loaf gets eaten, it means Hachta Mikra V'Lachoma, the one closest to the wall. Ma'adam Rezu Achar Zu, the opinion that says that the two loaves are one after the other, so remember, it's one loaf, another loaf, and then behind them the Beis Din. So what's the inner loaf? The loaf closest to the Beis Din, Hachdemikra v'le Beis Din, the second loaf. Now it's not, we looked in our Mishnah, Hapnimis Necheles, the inner loaf is eaten, V'achitzona Nisrefes, the outer loaf is burnt. So the Gemara is thinking that a loaf is going to be burnt because it was Yotze, it went out of the sacred realm. So Bishma L'madamar Zo Achar Zu, if you're going to say that it's one loaf and then another loaf, Amatu L'hachi, according to this, Pnimis Necheles, the inner loaf is eaten, Mishum das yichitzona kama, because the outer loaf came before it, v'katshala, and it sanctified the area, and then the next loaf is following in a sacred area, so it can still be eaten. But the outer loaf, the lead loaf, it's sanctifying. So since it's sanctifying, it's walking in an area that's not yet holy. It's making the area holy. So it was taken to an area outside of the holiness. It has to be burned. But if the two loaves are next to each other, so it's they're both sanctifying together. So why should one loaf, the loaf closest to the wall, be eaten and the loaf outside be burned? So the Gemara says the truth is even according to the opinion that it's one ahead of the other, it doesn't really make sense. Litz ameich, according to your logic, if it's the two loaves, one after the other, can one loaf create the sanctity? But we said in the Mishnah, if you didn't have all of the components, namely king, and Sanhedrin, and Kohen Gadol, and the loaves, and the song, it doesn't become holy. So here it's only one loaf. It can't sanctify it. Even according to the opinion that we're about to see, that ba'achas mikol elu, that all you need is one component of the components that are mentioned to make an area holy. Well, hani tarvayu chada mitzvahi, the two loaves are one component. If you only have a single loaf, you only, don't even have a single component. You have half of a single component. Ela amar Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said like this. The law of the Mishnah is not so much that the inner loaf gets eaten, the outer loaf gets burned. It's just saying that if you go to the book of Ezra and you read about how Ezra increased the size of the temple, so one of those loaves was eaten, one was burned. Al pi navi necheles, it was a divine command. The prophet would convey a divine command that one loaf, he said, this loaf gets eaten, and this loaf gets burned. But not that the loaf that gets burned went out of the holy realm. No, it was a divine order, that loaf get burned. And not that there's any reason for it. No, it gets burned outside. Correct. So the Mishnah said, Kol Shalal Nasis B'chol Elu, if you didn't have all of these characteristics, namely a king, Kohen Gadol, prophet, and Sanhedrin, and the two loaves, and the song, then it doesn't become holy. So now we're going to see that actually that version of the Mishnah is only one version. There's another version of the Mishnah. Itmar was taught, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna said, B'chol Elu Tznan. The way to read the Mishnah is the way we have it. The only way to add sanctity, the only way to consecrate, to make holy new areas of the temple or new areas of Jerusalem is with all of these characteristics. King, Kohen Gadol, prophet and Sanhedrin. Rav Nachman says, that's not the way to read the Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is, if it wasn't consecrated with one of these characteristics, namely, if you didn't have any, then it's not holy. But if you have even one of them, that's alone enough to make it holy. So you don't need king, prophet, Kohen Gadol, and Sanhedrin. You can have just one. Just Sanhedrin is enough. Just prophet is enough. Just king is enough. Just Kohen Gadol is enough. That's an argument between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, you need all four. According to Rav Nachman, you need one of the four. So Rav Huna, Amar B'chol, Eilu Tznan, the way to read the Mishnah is you need all four. So why? Because Savar, he holds that what Ezra did, now Ezra didn't have Urim V'Tumim. In the days of Ezra, they didn't have the special garments that had the holy names of God in them for the Kohen Gadol to wear. They were lost at the end of the first temple era. The times of Ezra, we didn't have a king. So, what was Ezra doing? So, he would have to tell you, Ezra was really not doing anything. It was just a memorial. Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctification that was done by David and Shlomo of the areas inside the holy walls. Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Asad Lavo, was sanctified in the moment and sanctified forever. So Ezra, Zecher Balmelu David, he just went through the motions of a memorial. However, Rav Nachman says, oh, you only need one of the four elements, Ba'achas Mikol Eilu Tznan, because he holds Kasavar Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita. He holds that when David and Shlomo sanctified it, it was just for that moment, not forever. So Ezra had to re-sanctify. Ezra didn't have a king. Ezra didn't have Urim V'Tumim. So how did Ezra sanctify? Must be you don't need all four elements. You just need one of the four elements. The Ezra Kedusha Kaddish. Ezra, in fact, did sanctify. He didn't have Urim V'Tumim. He didn't have a king also. So must be you only need one of the four. Ace, they Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav challenged Rav Nachman, who says you only need one of the four elements to sanctify Jerusalem or the temple. The Mishnah says, Kol Shelo Na'aseh B'Chol Eilu. Anything that wasn't done with all four doesn't become holy. So he answered Rav Nachman, I changed the girsa. I changed the text of the Mishnah. I think the way you're quoting the Mishnah is not correct. What the Mishnah should read is, Kol Shelo Na'aseh B'Achas Mikol Eilu. If it wasn't done with one of these four, it's not holy. But all you need is one of these four. Yeah, both are the same. Right. You need to sanctify Jerusalem to be able to eat. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
He was a Navi, yeah. Also, yeah. So now, who's right about this? Tashma, come in your proof. Abba Shalom, and we have a Braisa. Remember, this is an argument between two Amoraim, Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. But we have Abba Shaul saying, Shnei Bitzayin Hayu Bahara Mishka. There were two swamps on the Mount of Olives. Tachton of El Yona. One was higher up on the slope, one was lower. Tachton and Iskacha B'Cholel, the lower one was sanctified with all four things. King, prophets, Sanhedrin, Urim V'Tumim. El Yona, the top one, Lo Niskacha B'Chol Eilu. It wasn't sanctified with all four, but it was an added thing. It was added in. Elab Ole Gol, on the times of the second temple, they added it in. And at that point already, Shalob Melech, they didn't have a king. Shalob Urim V'Tumim, they didn't have the breastplate with the holy names inside of it. So, Tachtona, Shaisa Kedushasa Gemura, the lower swamp that had full holiness, because it was sanctified with all four things. Ami Aretz Nechnasim L'Sham, even the ignorant would go there, V'Ochun Sham Kachim Kalim, to eat karbanos. Avalo Maiser Sheni, but they wouldn't eat Maiser Sheni there, because even the ignorant were very careful with Maiser Sheni. They would, for Maiser Sheni, they would go only inside Jerusalem itself. V'chaveirim, whereas the Torah scholars, they knew it was holy, with full holiness. So, Ochum Shem Kachem Kalim, U'Maiser Sheni, they would eat there. Karbanos Shlamim, plus they would eat Maiser Sheni there. El Yona, the top swamp. Shalo Isaac Dushasa Gemura, which didn't have full holiness, because it wasn't sanctified with all four, because they didn't have a king or Urim V'Tumim then. So, Ame Aretz Hayunichnasim Sham, V'Ochum Shem Kachem Kalim. The ignorant would go, and they would eat Karbanos Shlamim there. Avalo Maiser Sheni, they wouldn't eat Maiser Sheni there. The Chaverim, whereas the Torah scholars, wouldn't eat anything there. Ein ochlim shem lo kachim kalim v'lo ma'aser sheni. It wouldn't eat anything there. U'mipnei ma'lo kitshua. And why is it that it wasn't holy? Because, shein mosifin ala ir v'ala azaros el b'melech v'navi v'urim v'tum v'sanedrin shalayin v'achad. Because you can only add either to Jerusalem or to the temple with king, prophet, and Urim Vitumim, and a Sanhedrin of 71, Uvishtei Todos, and the way to add is with two loaves of Todah of Chametz, Uvishirim, with all sorts of songs from Tehillim. So then the Braisa goes on, V'lama Kitshua, and why did they sanctify the top area? So Gemara says, what do you mean? Lama Kitshua, you just got through Hamarta Lo Kitshua, you just got through saying that it wasn't sanctified because it didn't have all four elements. Ella, my point is like this, Lama Ichnisua, why did they do something to it and include it in some type of a wall? Why are they doing that? The answer was, Mipnei Shetor Fashol Yushalayim Haisa, it's the high ground. So if that area is not Jerusalem, then you've exposed the high ground to the enemies. The enemies take the high ground, then they're going to take the whole city. It's the nakedness of Jerusalem. It's the weak point. It's the defense point of Jerusalem. And therefore, v'nochi likavish misham, if we don't populate it, Jerusalem itself could be conquered from there. Okay, that's the Braisa. But what's the Braisa saying? That there was a swamp high on the mountain of Olives that was only sanctified as part of Jerusalem and the times of the Second Temple, and therefore it was missing the high priest, and it was missing the king, and it wasn't fully sanctified, it wasn't really holy. It was holy in name, but it wasn't really holy. So that's against Rav Nachman, who says you only need one thing to make it holy. Answer the Gemara, the question of Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is before Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Tanai, it's an argument of Tanai. So Rav Nachman will tell you, this Braiso is the Tana who disagrees with me, but there's another Tana who agrees with me. Where's the argument? The Tanya went in a Braisa. Amr Belezer says, Shamati, I heard, Kishayu Bonim Bahechal, when they were building the second temple, and they were building the Hechal, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, Asuklayim LaHechal, they put up screens to serve as walls, and then outside of the screens, they put the stone walls, they built the stone walls. Uklayim, and they put up screens to serve as walls, Lazaros, for the courtyards. The screens that were the walls for the temple building, they were inside and they built outside of the screens. Uvazaros, and in terms of the courtyards, bonimi bifnim, they built inside of the screens. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati ayird, Shemakriv v'nafal b'shein b'ayis, that even if the whole Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and we don't have any walls, you can still offer karbanos. Ochim kachim kachim, you could eat the meat of a chatas or an asham, even without having any screens. Kachim katlim and maaser sheni, you could eat shlamim and maaser sheni, the second tithe, anywhere in the area of Jerusalem. Afal pi she'ein choma, even if the wall of Jerusalem is down. Why? Because says Rabbi Yoshua, Mipnei Shekdusha Rishona, for the original sanctification of David and Shlomo, Kitchel Ashaita, they sanctified it at the moment, the Kitchel Asid Lavo, and they sanctified it for the future. So you see, Rabbi Yoshua says, if it was sanctified for the moment, it was sanctified forever, implying that Rabbi Lazar disagrees. And he believes if it was sanctified for the moment, it was not sanctified forever. So that's the question. If you say it was sanctified forever, then you say you need all four things, and that's why what Ezra did was just a memorial. But if you say what was sanctified originally was not sanctified forever, then Ezra had to sanctify again. Ezra didn't have all four things, so that must mean you don't need all four things. You only need one. So that's what the Gemara says. So lav michlal, the fact that Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says this line, doesn't that imply Rabbi Elazar suffer, Rabbi Elazar holds lo kitchel asid lavo, it wasn't sanctified for the future. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Ravina responded to Ravashi, Mimai, who says Dilma maybe the kuliyam kedusha rishona kitchel shaita v'kitchel asid lavo. Maybe everybody agrees that what David and Shlomo did to sanctify Jerusalem was holy in the moment and holy forever. And therefore, what Ezra did was just through the motions. Therefore, you really do need all four things to create sanctity. Why then are they having an argument? Maybe they're not even having an argument. Mar, Rebbe Lezer, my Dishmile Kamer, he's just telling you, this is what I heard happened. Umar and Rabbi Yeshua, my Dishmile Kamer, is telling you, this is what I heard happened. One says, I heard that they put up screens. The other one says, I heard they don't need to put up screens. But they're not really arguing. V'chitim, if you're going to tell me, if according to Rabbi Elazar, they don't need screens because it's really holy. Klaim Rabbi Elazar Lamerli. So how does Rabbi Elazar understand what they did? Why did they put up screens? It's Niusabi Alma. They just did it to be more modest. It's more respectful when things are covered. It's the temple. So they covered things, but they didn't really have to. So we don't really have a proof about this argument. Ella, I'll tell you, said Rav Nachman. Hani Tanoi, it's the following Tanoi. The Tanu in a Brisa, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel the son of Rabbi Yossi says, Lama Manu Chacham Meseilu. Why do the sages list the cities that are surrounded with the wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun and Masechet Erechin? Because when they came up back to rebuild Jerusalem from Bavel, Matsu Elu v'Kitchen, they found these cities and they re-sanctified them. Aval Rishonos, but the original cities, Batlu Misha Batla Aretz, they lost their sanctity once the land of Israel lost its sanctity. Alma, so what do you see that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holds? Kasav Kedusha Rishona, there were cities that were originally sanctified by Yoshua, but then they lost their sanctity, and that's why they're not listed in the list. Kitchel Shaitavlo, Kitchel Asad Lavo. Now, Rabini, I'll challenge you. We have another Bryce, the same person. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, V'chiyelu bilvad hayu are the only walled cities from the days of Yoshua ben Nun. The cities mentioned in Tractate Erechin, Halok Varnamrad, there's a verse that says it just in Hevel Argov. There were Shishim Ir, there were 60 cities called Hevel Argov. In the plain of Argov, there were 60 cities, Mamleches Og Bashan of the kingdom of Og. Kol Elu, and all these 60 cities are Arim Bitsuros, were fortified cities with Choma Gavoa, with very tall walls. So why did the sages list these? Because when they came back from Bavel, Matsu Elu, the Kitchum, they found these, and they consecrated them. So Kitchum, Hashta, Marta, what do you mean they sanctified them? Hashta, Aminu, L'kamandu, L'tzvich, L'kudushi. You're just saying that you don't need to sanctify. So no, change the Brisa. Matsu, Elu, they found these umanim. These were the ones that they knew about. But V'lo, Elu, Bilvad. But the Brisa is really saying it's not only these. El'kol, Shetala, B'yotch, M'soros, M'avosech, Hashem, R'kev, Hashem, R'mos, Yeshua, B'nun. Any city that you find a tradition that it is surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Komitzos Elunah goes, but has all the laws of a walled city, that if you sell a home in it, after a year, you can't buy it back. A Mitzora has to leave it. Because the original sanctification was sanctified at the moment and sanctified forever. So you have explicitly an argument. So 1 second, but it's the same person arguing with himself. So Kashid Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So the answer is like this. Ibai Yaseim, I could tell you, neither is really Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. These are students, different traditions of what he said. Ibai Yaseim, I can tell you, we have to change the girsa. One of them is Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Amra, he said it. The Titus went to the Bryce, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer. The verse says, Asher Lochoma, a city that has a wall with a vav and an aleph. The aleph would mean it doesn't have a wall. That means Alpha Bishain Lo Achshav, even though it doesn't have one now. But it did have a wall. It's considered a walled city. So we see that whatever was sanctified originally is sanctified forever. So that's the answer to the contradiction. The answer is, Rav Nachman, how could you say that you only need one of the four elements to sanctify Jerusalem? You need all four, the Brisa says. He'll tell you that Brisa is following the view that says, Kitcha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, the Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. But there's another view that says, Kitcha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, if the original sanctification wasn't forever. So then Ezra had to sanctify, because we had a temple in the Second Temple era. Ezra didn't have all four. So then it must mean that you only need one of the four to sanctify.
That's the halacha now, Rabbi? Only one of the four?
Oh, in this question? It's complicated. Not so clear. It's an argument.
Rabbi, the square footage of the second temple, was it bigger than the square footage of the first temple?
I think so. Yeah. So now the Mishnah said, Nitma Ba'azara, if a person is in the temple, in the courtyard, and while in the courtyard he becomes impure. And then then he forgets that he's impure. So if he bows down in the temple, or if he takes the longer route to walk out of the temple, and then when he comes out, he realizes, hey, I was impure in the temple, he'd have to bring the sliding scale, Karban Chatas. Tumma Bazar Minon, how do we know this law about Tumma in the temple? Rabbi Lezer answered, Kasav Echad Omer, the verse says, Es Mishkan Hashem Timei V'nichasa Nefeshahi. He defiled the Mishkan of God, and the soul should be cut off. Because of Echad Omer, but another verse says, V'nichasa Nefeshahi Mitocha Kahal, Ki Es Mikdash Hashem Timei. And that soul will be cut off, because the sanctuary of God, the temple of God, he defiled. So why do we need two verses, both Mishkan and Mikdash? So the answer is like this. And he actually here the parentheses stays in. I don't need it for the idea of someone who is tamei outside that he shouldn't walk in. So it's Sneuinyan, the extra pasuk is to tell me that if someone is inside and becomes impure, if he stays inside while he's impure, he would be guilty. So the Gemara asks, are these psukim extra? We need both psukim. Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Lezer says, Im Namar Mishkan, if you have a verse saying that he can't defile the Mishkan, Lama Namar Mikdash, why does it say he can't defile the temple? Im Namar Mikdash, if the verse says don't defile the temple, Lama Namar Mishkan, why does it also say don't defile the Mishkan? So the answer is like this. Ilu Namar Mishkan velo Namar Mikdash, if it would have said don't defile the Mishkan and never mentioned the Mikdash, Hayisi Omer would have said, Al Mishkan Yechayev, a person is guilty if he's tummy when he walks into the Mishkan. The Mishkan was more special, Sharei Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, because the Mishkan was made holy with the special anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared. But Al Mikdash, if he walks into the temple, look, when he's impure, Lo Yechayev, he shouldn't be guilty, because the temple was less holy than the Mishkan. It was not made holy with the oil, it was made holy with service. And as we said with the todos, Vim Namar Mikdash, if it would have said that don't walk into the temple when you're impure, Velo Namar Mishkan, it didn't mention don't walk into the Mishkan when impure, Hayisi Omer would have said, Al Mikdash Yechayv, if you walk into the temple while impure, you have to bring a karban, Sharik Dushas Kedushas Olam, because the temple is holy forever. It's not like the Mishkan. The Mishkan was only temporary. The Mishkan, but if you walk into the Mishkan, Lo Yechayv, you won't be guilty, because it's not forever wherever the Mishkan is. It's here in one place and it moves somewhere else. It doesn't create lasting holiness in any spot. L'chach ne'emar Mishkan, u'l'chach ne'emar Mikdash. That's why we need a verse to tell me that there is an obligation to bring a sacrifice, both for walking into the Mishkan and for walking into the Mikdash. So you see that the verses are not extra. So if they're not extra, how do you know to teach me that there's a problem if he becomes Tameh while he's standing in the Mishkan or the Mikdash? Answers the Gemara. Really, the verse is extra. Rebbe Lezer, there was the first source. Hachi Kakashule, this is his point. Mikti, Mishkan Ikri Mikdash. O Mikdash Ikri Mishkan. The Mishkan is called Mikdash also. And the Mishkan was also, and the Mikdash was also called Mishkan. So Nichtav O'idi V'idi Mikdash. He could either write twice the word Mikdash, O'idi V'idi Mishkan, or twice the word Mishkan. So why switch Mishkan U'Mikdash Lamali? Why switch to say in one place the word Mishkan and in the second place the word Mikdash? That's not only to teach you that both there's a problem in Mishkan and Mikdash when walking in when impure, but also to teach me that there's a problem if while in the Mikdash or Mishkan I became impure. Shema min hatarti, from here I know two ideas. Now, Bishlama Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, I know that the Mikdash is called Mishkan. The Ksiv, it says, V'nasati Mishkani b'sochechem. Hashem said, if you listen to the Torah, I'll put my Mishkan in your midst. In other words, I'll give you the Beis HaMikdash. Ela Mishkan Dikri Mikdash, Minalan. Where do we see that the Mishkan in the desert was also called Mikdash? Even Midachtiv, it's from the fact that the verse says, V'nasu HaKatim, and the members of the family of Kahas travel. No, say HaMikdash, who carry the temple. Ahu Ba'aron Ksiv. It doesn't mean that they carry the temple, it means that they carry the ark. Ela Mehacha, this is the source. Hashem says, V'asu Li Mikdash, they shall give me donations and make for me a temple. V'shachanti b'socham, and I will reside in their midst. And what was that temple? Uksiv, it's the Mishkan. K'chal asher ani mariyah oscha, es tavnis ha-mishkan. You should build what I'm showing you in this form, the form of the Mishkan. So you see, the Mishkan is called Mikdash. Okay. Yeah, question?
Is that the same Mishkan that they brought from Sinai? They used them in the first temple, Rabbi?
That was put away in Gilgal. Now they built a second. They built the first temple.
The Mishkan, they do all the shefts on it.
The Mishkan in the desert. We're talking about that. Now, the Mishnah says if somebody becomes impure while in the temple and he bows or he takes the long way out of the temple, he has to bring a carbon. Amar Rava, Rava said, Lo Shanu, that's only true. El Yishtachav Klapei Pnim. And instead of walking out, he bowed towards the temple. But if, while he's on his way out, he bows towards the outside, then he wouldn't be guilty. Sha'in, only if he stays there long enough for bowing, he was guilty. Lo sha'a lo, but if he doesn't stay there long enough for bowing, he wouldn't be obligated in a carbon. Others say this law in the end. The Mishnah says, if he stays in the temple while impure, long enough to bow, so that sounds like Michlaudish Tachava Gufa Bayashia. That sounds like the bowing itself has to also be staying there long enough. Then Amar Rava, no, lo shanu, that's not true. Lo shanu el ishtach v'klapei chutz. If he's bowing while on his way out, towards out, it has to be also with a lengthy stay. But klapei pnim, if he bows towards the inside, then he's guilty, afagav lo shah, even though he didn't stay long enough. V'achi kam, this is the way to read the Mishnah. Hishtach v'klapei pnim. If he bows towards the inside, o shishah k'dei ishtachava, or he stays long enough for a bowing. When he's bowing towards the outside, chayiv, he has to bring the carbon olav yored. What is the length of time? So what's a bowing long enough to, with the weight long enough to bow? What's the bowing without enough time? So the Gemara answers, the less bashiya, the bowing which doesn't have enough time, zukriya ba'alma. That's just kneeling. The bowing with too much length of time is where he bows down on the floor and he stretches out pishut yadayim v'raglayim. He stretches out his hands and feet. Kamashir shiya. What is this too long amount of time? Pligi ba Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chadi ime umani Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani argued about it with a friend. Some say it's Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Amila. Some say it's Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. You argued with chadi ime with one of his friends, who was Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani. Amila. Some say it's Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. One said it's like the length of time to say this entire pasuk. One said it's like half of this pasuk. What's the pasuk? And so either from Vayichru till the end, or from V'chol B'nei Yisrael until the end, that's the length of time that if he stays there, or it's the length of time of a certain bowing, that would obligate him in a karban olav yored.